Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, Hoey. Thanks for joining me. Now, looking into the property sector. Now, the industry came off a tough period in 2016 with sluggish property sales as well as tighter lending policies. Data from NIPIC shows that property prices in the third quarter of 2016 grew 5.3% year-on-year. This is the slowest growth since 2010. So do you think the property sector is expected to remain bearish for the rest of 2017?
I think just like 2016, in 2017, the property market, I think, is expected to be slightly the same as 2016. I think it will still be subdued, okay? I think the sector as a whole is still affected by issues such as, you know, the prolonged weak sentiment, the low affordability, as well as the strong incoming supplies. Overall, it will still roughly be the same as 2016.
Right, more of the same then. And you're also forecasting competition between developers, and this is especially coming from new supply from public housing schemes like Prima, One Malaysia's civil servant housing programs. And you think this will actually eat into the market share of private developers. Now, how are private developers, you know, especially those in the affordable housing segment, positioning themselves for this new risk and incoming supply from the public housing developers?
Well, I mean, no doubt that there will be rising competition between private developers competing with the public housing programs. But I think for private developers, there are a few key features that actually distinguish themselves compared to public housing products. I think first thing first, they have the brand name to write on. And secondly, also, their products actually tend to have better features, i.e. they have actually more lifestyle amenities. I think these are the features that actually will help them to stand out compared to the public housing products.
In terms of the supply-demand dynamics, Hervé, what are your views? Do you think the market is able to absorb this new supply coming in?
I think if you talk about supply-demand dynamics, you really have to look at the areas. So I think if you just look at Klang Valley, I think Klang Valley itself, the supply-demand dynamics will be definitely much better compared to other areas, for example, Johor.
And talking about your top pick, Hervé, in the affordable housing segment is MKH Berhad, with a target price of RM3.40. It's said to be one of the biggest beneficiary of the upcoming MRT Line 1 when it's completed sometime this year. Now, have take-up rates of its developments and projects been encouraging?
Yeah, definitely. I think in terms of property sales, no doubt MKH has actually benefited a lot from this upcoming MRT Line 1. And the fact that they have, I think, three stations within Kajang actually helped to boost their sales. And also, if you just look at 2016, I think MKH is one of the very few developers that actually hit their sales target. So that shows that the demand for the product has been quite strong.
I'd like to get your thoughts as well, Hervé. How have, you know, land and property prices been impacted from such public transport developments like MRT Line 1?
Okay, I think we just take MRT Line 1, where it starts from Sungai Buloh up until Kajang. Okay, I think historically, property prices in Sungai Buloh, which is located in Petaling District, I think they tend to sell much higher compared to, let's say, properties in Kajang Semenye, which is actually located in Kolorangat District. Okay, we noticed that actually over the past few years, the gap in prices between these two districts have actually narrowed quite significantly. I think it's really because of the MRT line. So if you just look at land and property prices, the land and property prices in Kajang Semenye, they have gone up quite a fair bit as well.
And now looking into MKH Plantations business segment, its contribution was approximately 16%. Do you see the plantation segment likely to play a bigger role in 2017, you know, with CPO prices now on a path to recovery?
Yeah, I think definitely for sure that plantation segment will contribute higher in 2017. In fact, we are actually projecting their plantation EBIT to grow more than 50%. I think as a percentage of a group's EBIT, we are looking at the plantation segment to contribute about 25% in 2017.
And your other topic, Huawei, is EcoWorld with a target price of 1 ringgit 80 cents. It's booked 3.8 billion of sales in FY 2016, and for this year it has a gross sales target of 4 billion. Now, is this achievable in view of the challenging market?
I think if you look at their sales over the past 2 years, in fact they have been meeting their sales target despite the tough market where their peers have been revising down their property sales. I think for 2017, their gross sales target of 4 billion, I think that shouldn't be an issue given that they have 15 ongoing projects at the moment, and also there'll be two more new township projects that'll be launched, which I think will help to support to achieve their sales target.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see. Aside from the sales target it has, Huawei, EcoWorld has actually yet to deliver, I guess, on its earning despite bookings and posting strong sales. Its EBITDA declined to 23.3% quarter-on-quarter in the fourth quarter. What is exactly dragging down EcoWorld's margins and earnings? Is it really from, you know, the marketing costs, etc.?
I think you have to look on a full-year basis rather than just looking at the fourth quarter result itself, because in the fourth quarter itself, they actually see higher marketing expenses. Also, they had this concurrent launch of four projects in September 2016. So because of this, that led to a higher cost. But if you just look at on the annual basis, actually in FY16, their earnings actually grew close to three times. So I think that actually reflects the strong sales that they achieved over the past 2 years.
And talking about growth, Huawei, you are forecasting EcoWorld to post earnings of a cumulative annual growth rate of earnings of 33% over the next 3 years. So where do you think a growth will come from for EcoWorld?
Okay, and that actually will be driven by their unbilled sales of 4.9 billion. So that 4.9 billion will help to sustain their earnings visibility over the next 3 years. And not to mention that this year they are actually targeting 4 billion sales. So that will help to deliver the growth.
Thank you. That was Kwa Huawei, analyst with Alliance DBS Research. And now Julian Ng is standing by to speak to Tim Mulholland, president at TJM Limited.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, the moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.